Really good to see you. I'm Jonathan Edwards, a member of this church and a Baptist minister. It's a privilege to lead you in worship today as Richard and Fiona are on holiday in Wales. But it's great that we can be together. There are all sorts of things we'll share together during the course of the service, sad things and happy things, and also the fact that it's Rosemary's birthday today. Is it anybody else's birthday today? I would hate you to miss out. Yes. We're going to wish Rosemary a happy birthday. Let's do that. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rosemary. Happy birthday to you. Beautifully done. Where is Rosemary? Hello, Rosemary. Sorry, isn't that funny? I was gazing all around. I thought, hope she's here somewhere. Can I just recommend to you things happening during the week? Firstly, something on Thursday, and Paul is going to speak to us about it. Thank you, Paul.
Microphone. Good morning, everybody. You will have seen on the screen as you came in an advert for something called What Makes NBC Tick. This is not something about what gives NBC a bit of a twitch. It's actually about how Newbury Baptist Church works. If you've been coming for a while, or if you've been coming for years and years and years, and you've always wondered, well, who pays the minister? And, well, how are we organised? And how come Jonathan's speaking today as opposed to anybody else? And do we have to have a Baptist minister in order to be able to have a proper service? And what are the basic tenets of what Newbury Baptist Church is all about? Well, if you want to answer any of those questions and any other questions, this is for you. It's on Thursday evening this week, 7:30, and it's here in the church, and you get food. So if you're hungry and you want to come along, that would be great. But if you want to come along, please will you let me know today. And if it's not me, Nikki or Anne. Where's Anne? Anne's over there waving. So if you let one of the three of us know today, so that we can get the catering right and be ready to feed you and educate you with whatever it is you want to know about Newbury Baptist Church. It's not a hard sell. It's not all about trying to get you to do anything. It's actually just about answering your questions so you know how it all works and you can join in when and if you're ready. Okay?
Thanks, Paul, very much. And just so we can keep you busy, on Friday evening, there's a Kaylee. As a church, we've always been delighted to support street pastors here in Newbury, and there's a Kaylee to support street pastors on Friday at Cheveley Village Hall, 8 o'clock. Here's the notice. Do go along and support that if you can. We've come together to worship God, and we worship a God who in the Lord Jesus Christ came to his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Let's worship the Lord. We've got so much to thank him for and praise him for. We join together and sing, "Praise him, you heavens and all that's above." Let's stand to sing.
Praise him, you heavens.
Praise him, you heavens and all that's above. Praise him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise him. Praise him, the sun, moon, and bright shining stars. Praise him, you heavens and waters and skies. Let the whole earth praise him.
Sing great in power.
Praise him, Lord. Praise Him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise Him. Praise Him, the sun, moon, and bright shining stars. Praise Him, you heavens and waters and stars.
Great God, throughout the whole of our lives, we want to sing together all my days.
Thank you.
happening. Let me pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we gladly worship you this morning. We thank you that you are the wonderful, beautiful counselor, that you are the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Living Lord Jesus, we pray that you will meet with us this day, that we may know your presence with us, that we may know the peace which only you can give. Living Lord Jesus, thank you that we can bring our worship to you, knowing that you deserve the highest, you deserve the best, you deserve the greatest that we can ever bring to you. So, living Lord Jesus, receive our worship and our praise. As we come to you with sadness, as we come to you with happiness, as we come to you with questions, living Lord Jesus, meet with us and be our friend. For we come in your glorious name. Amen. Do please sit down if the children would like to join me. You'd be very welcome. Do please come and join me. I don't have a box. But I have a bag. I have a posh bag, which is not as good as a box, but it's okay. Right, I want to talk to you. It's lovely to see you all. When I came in at first, I thought everybody was still on holiday. Jesus often spoke about friends. Hello, do join us. It's great. He often spoke about friends. It's nice to have friends, isn't it? And Jesus particularly spoke on one occasion about some friends who were really concerned about their friend who wasn't very well. And Jesus was incredibly popular. Everybody wanted to see Jesus. And so do you know what they did? To get their friend close to Jesus, what they did was they decided to break open the roof. Don't do it yourself at home, because if you do, your mummy and daddy or whoever might not like that at all. But they were such special friends to this person that they wanted to bring their friend right to Jesus, and Jesus healed him and set him free, which is brilliant. I want you to tell me about your friends at the moment. Just think hard, because you've all got friends, haven't you? And I want you to tell me about your friends. What are they like? Can you tell me about your friends? What's the nice thing about your friends?
Hello. My friend is my daddy.
That's lovely. That's okay, that's lovely. So, your friend is Philip. I don't know Philip, but I'm sure he's very nice. So, let's tell you about your friends. That's wonderful. Tell me what your friends are like. What are the things that make them good friends? What are the good things about them? Tell me. Yep.
They're kind.
Your name's Marana. That's a much prettier name than mine. So they share. That's a really good answer. They share. Hey. Yes? Things about your friends. Shall we? Yes?
In Marana, there's a Maui. And there's another one called Marana.
Right. That's brilliant. What other things? Shall we ask our friends there, because they're all looking and they want to join in as well. They're fun. It's nice when friends are fun, isn't it? Hello. Oh, that's brilliant. Other things about your friends. Go on.
They help us.
They help us. Thank you. Is that right? Okay. Oh, that's brilliant. Shall we say doing things? With that? Baking cakes is really good. Go on, Karis.
They like to have fun with you.
Right. So what have we got? We've got they're kind, they share, they're fun, they help doing things.
They help you if you know
them. Right. Helping when you're in need. He helps you get up. God, I bet that's a bit of a challenge. So, getting up. Sorry, Kevin, I was listening.
What was it? Well, I said they're
there to catch?
I'm a one.
Now, who's going to help me so we can show all the people these clever things you've come up with?
Why?
Would you like to very carefully, don't pull it too tight, hold on the arm, Samuel? Would you, who's going to do it? Can we lift it up a bit? Because we're saying these are all the lovely things that friends do to help us. But in the middle, I put Jesus, because Jesus said something really significant. Jesus said, I don't want to call you servants. I want to call you friends. Jesus could just have called us servants. That would have been understandable. But he says, I want you to be my friends. So I'm going to say a prayer, and I'm going to say thank you to Jesus for wanting to be our friend. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were a wonderful friend when you were here on earth. But we thank you that you want to be our friend today as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, thank you. We're going to sing a song together, and I think you might know the words. You may go and return to where you came from. Thank you very much for your wonderful help. Whatever, that's brilliant. Let's stand and sing and praise God together. Our God is so. Our God is a great big God. Nicely put. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we are secure in your hands. And we thank you now for the children, young people who are part of this service. And we pray they'll have a fantastic time when they go to their activities now. Be with all of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you as you go to other places. And we're going to sing Above All Powers, an amazing song in which we reflect on the love of Jesus, even as he died on the cross, for us as individuals. And as we wrap Fiona in our prayers and our love, we call to mind his perfect love for her. And then we sing together Amazing Grace as we reflect on the fact that all of us totally depend upon the graciousness of God's love for us in Christ. We stand to sing.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're. Lay behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and followed me above all. Forbear to shine, but
Father, we celebrate the amazing grace that you've shown us in your Son, Jesus. You have gifted us that which we could never deserve. We bring you these, our offerings, to say thank you, to show our commitment to you, to show our desire to live our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. Let's hear together from God's word. Thanks, Pat.
I'm reading from John chapter 20, verse 24 to 31. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks on his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you have life, may have life in his name. May God add his blessing to this reading.
Thanks, Pat. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is always specifically and directly relevant to us. And we pray this morning that we may have ears to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a privilege to speak to you this morning. Some of you will know I had 2 weeks totally without a voice. And so 2 Sundays ago, Bethany read my sermon at Whitchurch Baptist Church, which I was very grateful. It was an extraordinary experience. She did extremely well. But hearing your sermon spoken by somebody else is just a different experience. Last Sunday, I gave up totally and didn't even try to preach, which was a wise thing. And this is its first outing, so let's see how we go. Well, I chose the Bible passage for today probably about a month ago, totally unaware of the news that we will be facing today. And I entitled this sermon, "Finding Peace Amidst Life Questions." Well, you could say, "Finding Peace Amidst Life Questions." Well, the situation's well known, of course. On the evening of Easter Day itself, the disciples were clearly terrified. The women had told them that Jesus had risen from death, and they did not know what to believe. They didn't know where to put that. Let's not be too ungenerous, but they might have thought that the women had just been seeing things, just imagining things. God bless them. They wanted to believe that Jesus was alive, and so I wonder how they were processing it. What we do know is they met together with the doors locked. They were fearful of the Jews coming for them next. That was a logical thought. They knew that Jesus had been successfully killed, crucified by the agency of the Jews. So logically, they might well come and get them now. And in that situation, on that Easter day evening, Jesus comes to them and says, "Peace be with you." He shows them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." With that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So far, so good. The disciples were clearly excited and encouraged, but Thomas was not with them. We don't know Thomas well. There are only two occasions when we've even heard him say anything in the Gospels, so we don't have a warm, clear relationship with Thomas. But he stakes his position very clearly. You could read verse 25 to suggest that disciples were bragging. "We've seen the Lord." Like, no, you haven't. Thomas states his position very clearly. He says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Well, that's a clear position to take. No sighting of Jesus that we know of for a week. But the week later, they're together again. Thomas is with them, and Jesus comes to them, and he says, "Peace be with you." It's that message of peace that I want us to hear for a moment, because the word peace really sums up Jesus' life, Jesus' ministry. Look back to Isaiah. Jesus was foretold as being the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. And then when Paul came to summarize Jesus' ministry, Ephesians chapter 2, he sees peace as being the key word. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations." His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. He himself is our peace. I want to note, first of all, and it's supremely relevant on this particular day, that peace is always and only ever a gift. Peace is not something that we can make. Peace is not something that we can contrive. The basic problems of our lives, the real problems of our lives, our sin, our failures, our guilt, our fears, we can't sort them. We can't resolve those situations. We can't do it. All we can do is to receive the gift of peace. Paul addressed this earlier on in that same chapter when he summarizes the situation, well summarized in the hymn we've just sung. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That is to say, There's nothing at all that we can contribute to peace. All we can do is to receive it as a gift of grace. Actually, just imagine how terrible it would be if you could work so hard that you could achieve peace, like you'd be sitting there now and thinking to yourself, well, I know why I've got peace. It's because last year, I don't want everybody to know, but I don't mind quite a lot knowing. Last year, I made a substantial gift to the church. And gift day did it. And so that's why I've got my peace today. And the person sitting next door says, oh, I know why I've got peace. I've got peace because I served in a youth club for 5 years. And you get double points for serving in a youth club. So that's why I've got my peace today, because of all that I've done. And somebody else is sitting there thinking, well, as you may know, I painted the exterior of the church, and that's why I've got my peace. Do you know, wouldn't it be ghastly if we all had our own reasons why we'd earned peace? This was the thing that gave us the qualifications. This is how we earned the stamps, as it were. We qualified. No. Can't do it. Nobody can boast about the gift of peace, because it is just a gift. And I want you to hear this today, because as we hear the news of Fiona and feel the sadness and walk with them as our friends, thanking God for all that they've come to mean to us, I want you to hear God wants you to receive his peace now. One of the things we can so easily do with all spiritual messages, but perhaps particularly with a gift of peace, is to look into the future and think, ah, I can see peace coming. We're going on a nice holiday. And when we just get away from it all, then we will have peace. Or maybe others of you are thinking, and I want you to know this isn't from my heart, once the children have left home, then we will have peace. I'm appalled at the very thought of that ever happening. But there will be people who think, we'll wait for that moment and then we'll be by ourselves, then we can have peace. Or maybe you're going through a difficult time at work and you're thinking, just get to the end of it, just get that deal sorted and then we can have peace. Or just resolve that situation in our relationship and then we'll have peace. I want you to hear this. It's in the midst of their dilemma that Jesus came to the disciples and said, peace be with you. In this moment where you're terrified because not unreasonably you think the Jews might be coming to get you, in the situation of your fear, peace be with you. As you handle difficult medical news, the Lord comes in that situation, in that moment and says, peace be with you. Don't put it off. Peace is for now. Probably the heart of the message is what I was sharing with the children earlier, that Jesus wants to be our friend. He wants to be our companion. He wants to be there with us. It's an extraordinary title to give himself, isn't it? To be our friend would be sufficient for him to be our Savior, our Master, our Lord, our King. You know, it's wonderful. But he says, no, I want you to be my friends. And our friend, our forever friend, is the one who wants to be our peace. Colossians chapter 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Please hear this today. We think of Fiona, and with much love and with many prayers, we think of Fiona today. But I do want you to think about yourself. I want you to hear this message of good news for you today. The Lord comes to you and says, will you receive my peace? At the end of this service, if you'd find it helpful, if you're feeling you're not in that place now, do come to the front and we'd love to pray for you. And just pray that you'll receive God's peace. Just come at the end of the service, come and sit at the front, and we'd just love nothing better than to pray with you, to pray that you will receive this gift. The fact of life is that life changes for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes the changes are obvious. Suddenly a change of employment, made unemployed, retirement, complete change of life. Sometimes it is health, which causes our lives suddenly to change out of all description. I'm doing some work at the moment, and we'll be spending 2 days of this coming week with my friends at Torch Trust for the Blind. We're doing work particularly at the moment with those with macular degeneration. 100 people a day, 100 people every day learn that they are losing their sight through macular degeneration. That's very scary. Very, very scary suddenly to find that your sight is going, and we're working at ways in which we can come alongside people, Christian or non-Christian, it doesn't matter, you know, come alongside people to befriend them, to say God can give you peace amidst the changes of your life. With all my heart, I say to you this morning, as I say to my friends Fiona and Richard, receive Christ's peace. That's one half of what I want to say to you. The other half is this. Yes, the gift of peace is all important, but I also want to stress the importance of honesty, because that's another thread in this story, isn't it? Thomas was honest. Thomas laid it down straightforwardly. Unless I see the evidence, I'm not on board. I do wish we knew what actually happened when he got there, when Jesus is there in front of him. And Jesus gives him the opportunity to do what he said he wanted to do, to put his finger in the nails, to put his hand in his Jesus' side. I wonder what happened. It doesn't tell us, frustratingly. I suspect that his questions suddenly became irrelevant. I suspect he didn't take up the opportunity of putting his finger in the hand and his hand in the side of Jesus. Why? Because suddenly it all looked different. But what I'm really glad about is that Jesus welcomed his questions. Jesus doesn't tell him he's wrong for his doubts, for his questions. It's good to have questions. The only way in which friendship, Jesus is our friend, the only way in which any friendship can grow is through honesty, through saying what we think about things. If you live in a friendship where you're just keeping big secrets to yourself, that's no true friendship. That's bizarre. Jesus wants to be our friend. I'm sure you have questions. If you don't, I can probably give you some of mine. I've got lots of questions. Lots of things which don't make complete sense. Yes, I've been a minister for many decades. Too many to be decent to share. But I still have many questions. Yesterday marked 5 years since the horrific death of my niece, Zoe, Bethany's cousin, Tom's cousin. Crazy, 13 years old. No, shouldn't happen. Our Hannah today is running, we trust, in this very moment in the London Marathon in support of Child Bereavement UK, which is a charity that's been really helpful to the family, particularly to Zoe's parents. Hey, do you think I've got some questions about all of that? And I know I'm looking in the eyes of many of you who have your own questions. Why? Why should these things happen? Why should they be? Real questions. Questions that you're bound to ask of your good friend. And if Jesus is your good friend, you're bound to ask them. But hear this. Questions never need to be a blockage. In a friendship, questions never need to be a blockage. Questions can always be a springboard, not because we get a slick, simple answer, but because within the friendship, we can share the question. Within the friendship, we can explore the questions that we have. I'm really thrilled that we live in days when people ask questions and churches encourage people to ask questions. Thank God for Alpha and the sort of the culture that Alpha has encouraged in our churches, that it's good to ask questions. Come with your questions. I didn't get the impression when I was brought up in the life of our churches that it was okay to ask questions. I got the impression that you weren't supposed to ask questions. You were just supposed to believe, just supposed to sing it and believe it and agree to everything. Sign up here, and I really am relieved and happy that we live in days where we say to people far more realistically, if you've got questions, God bless you. Let's walk with you. Let's pray with you as you explore those questions. I find hugely strengthening and hugely inspiring the way in which Matthew's gospel finishes. Here is the climax of Jesus' ministry. Here is the ascension. This is the big moment. Jesus is leaving his disciples. Matthew 28 at verse 16. This is the big moment. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. I'm really grateful to Matthew for his honesty. In a kind of way, forgive me, I'm thinking of sort of newspaper reporting, it would have been accurate to have said, and people worshipped him. They did. Did he really have to add that bit? But there were some people there on the Mount of Ascension thinking to themselves, I wonder what's going on today. I wonder what this is all about. But that's what we read. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't that fascinating? You would have thought that Jesus, knowing, because he knew everything, that there were some doubters in the crowd, would have said, well, the best thing here then is to divide you into two groups. Let's have over here the people who have no doubts, the people who are really confident in their faith. Right, I've got something to say to you. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, I mean, they were sure of their ground. They could go. And then he turned to the other group and say, oh, no, you're the ones with questions, aren't you? Well, we've got this 6-week course. And if you could sign up today, then in a few weeks' time, I'll be able to tell you that in all authority, you can go into all the world. No, Jesus doesn't do that. Isn't this, talk about grace. Jesus comes to all these people with their convictions, with their praising hearts, and with their questions. And to them all, he says, go. In his resurrection authority, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What I'm saying to you is, if you're honest, forgive me, but if you're honest, you'll have questions. Because we do have questions. It doesn't all make sense. We don't have the mind of God. There are questions about why things are the way they are. But hear this. Jesus comes to each of us and says, I want to work with you. I want to go with you. Friends, hear this. This is an important message. Whatever's happening in your life at the moment, receive Jesus' peace. It's for you. It's for today. Receive his peace. If you just want to go home and quietly pray about it, brilliant. If you want to come and be prayed with, we'd love to share with you in that way. That'd be super. And if you've got questions, thank God for a lively mind that has given you those questions. That's brilliant. And may God allow those questions in your life be a springboard to an even deeper friendship with Jesus. Let us all pray. Living Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, thank you that you want to bring your peace to our hearts today. Amidst all our questions, amidst all our fears, amidst all the things we don't understand, Lord Jesus, come and be our peace, we pray. We bring our prayers in the name of the one who is our peace and will always be our peace, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the hymn which I chose before I knew the news, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. For every reason, it's the right hymn for us to sing. Let's stand to sing with conviction this great hymn of faith. That we will always have reason to bring our songs of praises to you. Thank you for your presence with us in this service. As we go from this place, may we continue to know your peace. So may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us today and always. Amen.